My name is Michael Stollard, and I'm president and co-founder of the Connection Culture Group and E Pluribus Partners, and the author of two books. One is Connection Culture, and the second is Fired Up or Burned Out. People can find out more about my work at connectionculture.com.
Talking today with Michael Lee Stollard, and as we begin a new decade, we're talking about connection. What are you finding in your work?
Well, we're finding, Pat, let me take you back to 2011 was an important year for this topic. And that's when the U.S. Centers for Disease Control adopted a building and strengthening connectedness among individuals, families, and communities as their strategic direction to reduce rising suicide in the U.S. And in our work, we've seen, even in the last year, we had four new clients, Pat, who came to us because they were experiencing higher rates of suicide. One was the largest school district in Utah. Two were in healthcare organizations. Mm-hmm. And the fourth was one branch of the U.S. Armed Services, which is pretty well known. There's been a lot of press about that. So we're seeing it's becoming more and more of an issue in our society that people are lonely and longing for connection. And in the most extreme circumstances, people are taking their own lives.
That Utah school district you mentioned, there were two suicides in elementary school.
To understand this whole issue, it's important to understand that, number one, we're hardwired for connection. It's built into our nervous system. And especially when we're experiencing stressors in life and it hits the point where we start to feel overwhelmed and threatened, then our body perceives that and it puts us in a state of stress response. So it overallocates blood, glucose, oxygen to the fight or flight systems, and it underallocates to parts of the brain, the digestive system, the immune system, the reproductive system. And the effect of that, Pat, is we don't feel well. We're more likely to experience anxiety, depression, and in the most extreme cases, be willing to take our own lives because it's so painful to live in that state. But we don't always make the connection mentally that we need others. We need relationships to help stabilize the nervous system and protect our body from going into that state of stress response. Now, stress response is good if you're being mugged or something like that. Yeah. You need a short-term burst of energy. But if you're stuck in a chronic state of stress response where you don't feel well all the time, it has a profound effect on our body. Like I said, we don't feel well. We tend to look for ways to cope, most of which are addictive, either behaviors and or substances.
How does one change the culture if there's a lot of burnout going on, people are feeling disconnected? How would you suggest we start to make a connection?
Well, we've learned from 17 years of experience working in this area that step one has to be what we call creating a connection mindset. In other words, helping people understand why is it we need connection? What is connection? What does it look like? And when we do that through workshops or the books we've written, it helps people really value something that they, even in my own life, I worked on Wall Street. I had crowded out relationships in my life, Pat, as you know, I've shared with you before. And I didn't feel well. I started developing addictions, but I didn't make the connection that I had crowded out. I was lonely, but I wouldn't have called myself lonely. I just didn't have much connection in my life, and it was manifesting in my emotional health and causing me to engage in these destructive, addictive behaviors and substances. So that's happening en masse today in our culture. And, what we do is we really help people understand that they need connection and then get them starting to engage in connected behaviors with family, with friends, in their workplace, in their community. And once they understand it, Pat, and they experience it, then it achieves the highest level of learning because they felt it and they understand it. And that's when they really start becoming committed to changing their behavior longer term.
People don't even stop to think about it. They know something's wrong, but hey, they're on that little hamster wheel and they're going so fast that they don't stop to think that there might be a better way. And personally, I think that slowing down and realizing that you don't really feel great, why, might be step one.
When you feel overwhelmed to the point that you become, your body perceives it as a threat, it becomes involuntary. Your body is going
to
respond
down.
By producing anxiety or slowing you down through depression. And so you don't have that's involuntary, but hopefully people don't reach that point. They start to understand that they need this and they've crowded it out in their lives and they take action before their body puts them into that unpleasant state. And so, but that's true. We need to take the time to slow down and really evaluate our lives. And are we living our healthiest, best life? And you just can't do that without connection. Like I said, one of the things we share in our training is that connection is a superpower that makes us smarter, happier, and more productive. And disconnection is a super stressor that sabotages our health, our well-being, and our performance.
Let's talk about how we can actually do that at home and at work. Let's take home first.
Number one, having meals together as a family, using mealtime as social time to connect with others. Those years I was working on Wall Street, when I could make it home for family dinners, I noticed how my wife and daughters, they would go through their day almost chronologically to share what was going on. And, you know, my reaction was, couldn't we just cut to the chase and tell me the things that happened, right? But I've come to appreciate that, you know, taking the time to really just hear what somebody's day was like, you know, what happened throughout the day, taking that time to connect, attuning to someone's emotion if they had, some difficult things happen or some positive things happen. The power of that, you know, feeling what other people feel is, if they are experiencing a negative emotion and we attune to that negative emotion, when we start to feel it and sense it, it diminishes their pain. And when we attune to their positive emotion, it enhances their joy. So, and in both cases, it connects us. So family meals together, taking time with your spouse or partner to really, through the week, spending some time just sharing what's going on in your week, any struggles you have in particular. What that does from a neuroscience standpoint is when we engage in conversation, it engages the rational part of the brain, the cortex, where we make rational decisions, and it quiets the amygdala, where we process threats. So it calms our nervous system. It helps us make better decisions. So getting involved in conversations. Also, Pat, some other things, I love to see families playing games together because that also, it produces serotonin that it's a positive emotion that makes us feel more contented, which is different from, say, dopamine-based positive emotions that are more excitatory. They don't last as long. You know, we get dopamine from anticipating sugary meals or high fat, thinking about the future all the time rather than living in the present. So, family games, arts and crafts, you know, painting together, things like that. Just finding different activities to do together as a family or with a group of friends and conversation. Those are the types of things that really make us feel connected and meet that need that our body has that will help us be more resilient to cope with stress.
I like puzzles. Having a puzzle going on one of the tables is fun.
My son-in-law is a puzzle meister. Over the holidays, he's Canadian, and Jeremy was, my daughter Sarah, and new granddaughter Peyton, with us over the holidays. And I think Jeremy finished three puzzles, I believe. Ooh. You know, one 500-piece puzzle, a couple thousand-piece puzzles.
Wow.
So he loves that. I was talking to him about it, and he said, it just calms me.
Yeah.
And, so puzzles are another thing because you're focused on something that's close to you rather than kind of in your head thinking about the future. It produces serotonin and neurochemicals that make us feel more contented and calm our nervous system, rather than, you know, we can become addicted to dopamine and kind of the rush of living in the future all the time rather than in the present. And of course, our diet can also contribute to that as well. If it's a high sugar diet, high simple carbohydrates, that can also produce that same effect.
That's, by the way, how I learned the MTA, the subway system in New York. There is an MTA puzzle of the subway system, which really...
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. Now, we talked about at home, and you have several great ideas, but what about at work?
Well, what we do is, number one, we help people understand what a culture of connection looks like and what disconnection looks like. Let me just start with disconnection.
Okay.
So disconnection comes in two forms. It's a culture of control where those who have power micromanage others. It can be, you know, a very negative culture, you know, micromanaging too much bureaucracy and red tape. The second type of disconnecting culture is a culture of indifference, and that's where people are just so busy it crowds out time for supportive relationships that we need to be connected. And then a connection culture comes about when it's in a culture where people have a shared vision of their work, how they're serving others in some way that helps unite them. They value each other as human beings, so they take the time to get to know each other, to find out what's going on in life outside of work, to support each other. And when people have a voice in decisions, it doesn't mean they have a vote, but at least their opinions are sought and considered before decisions are made, when it's not an emergency decision. Yeah. And those three things draw people together and create connection. So, you know, simple things too, like having lunch with other people, taking a break with another person, group exercise, making sure, if you're a supervisor, making sure you give people a voice, taking your things you're thinking about to your team and asking them to share what's right, what's wrong, what's missing from your thinking, and getting that conversation going helps them feel more connected, and it helps them really give their best work.
It sounds so simple, but
I'm glad you brought that up because it just that what you said, Pat, is so true. And I really love the work of two Stanford professors. They wrote a book called The Knowing Doing Gap, Jeffrey Pfeffer and Bob Sutton. And what they found in their work was the organizations that often weren't performing at their best, they became focused on management fads and the simple common sense things that they know they should do, they weren't doing. They assumed they were being done, but when you take a closer look at the organizations, these connecting behaviors weren't happening. Mm. And so they experienced lower employee satisfaction and engagement. They weren't making the best decisions because people weren't fully communicating. They weren't aligning their behavior with the organization's goals, and it was really sabotaging performance. But the best organizations, I think of some of our clients, Costco, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. These are organizations that are focused on, some parts of the organization have been very intentional about creating connection by connecting people to their mission, to each other in the organization, and making sure that people have a voice.
Are you optimistic about our society going forward?
I am, and I'll tell you why. The next few years, I think, are going to be tough because I do think, and I usually ask when I'm doing training with organizations, I ask a couple questions. One is, do you think stress is going to go up or down? And the vast majority believe that stress is going to go up in the years ahead. And then I ask them, do you think connection is going to go up or down? And the vast majority say connection is going to go down in the years ahead. Well, that's a recipe for disconnection and all the negative ills that we see in society, including suicide and burnout. So I think we're probably going to continue to see that until the pain is becomes more well-known. And we're also, as I mentioned to you earlier, before we started recording, that we're seeing a lot of books and press come out about the importance of connection to help us from an emotional health standpoint. So I'm encouraged to see that. So I think over the next decade, the next few years could be difficult in terms of seeing higher suicides, higher burnout rate. But then I think we're going to hit a point where people are aware of the problem and they'll start to change their behavior And I'm optimistic in the second half of the decade that we'll really see those numbers move in a positive direction. I'm hoping that they really move quickly, as quick as possible, in a positive direction. And we all be intentional about cultivating cultures of connection rather than living in cultures that are disconnecting.
Well, that was well said.